Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Had a terrific weekend. Hope you did as well. We will have Paula Bova, News and Notes, the professor from Arizona State University, formerly an AZ Central columnist. Paula's with us every Monday. Eric is in the house today. We have Jared Nielsen as our chairman of the board today. And I'm pretty calm today. I had a good weekend. 28-year wedding anniversary, spent in a gym in Avondale watching club basketball.
Happy anniversary. I'm belated.
Thank you.
Nothing says happy anniversary like club basketball in Avondale on a Saturday.
We were in a drive-through Saturday night at like some new chicken thing, and I'm ordering chicken and waffles, and I know it's not going to be the like Lolo's, but it doesn't matter because it's at 9 o'clock at night, and we got to go back to Avondale the next day to play. I'm not complaining about this, guys. This is how you stay married 28 years. You do these things.
And for those of you that aren't familiar, Brad lives just east of Albuquerque. The drive out to Avondale takes a day.
I see the lights from Dallas occasionally because I'm driving out
I-17. You can hear some of the Dallas radio stations if the stars are aligned.
No, actually, at night? I can do that.
No, I bet you can.
I get WOAI in San Antonio occasionally.
That
12,
is it.
10 a.m. I can pick it up, so... which is fine. I'm not complaining about the length. It's just when you're married 28 years, people said, wow, you must have a really understanding wife. No, she is the one that said, look, we need to be at our son's game, which is fine. Friday night, I went to the opening of the new Kona Grill. It is owned by Berka Bakai, the owner of Phoenix Rising FC, who was nice enough to invite us to go. And so we completely destroyed sushi and completely destroyed all the good food that Kona has. It's right near our studio, so we're efforting the opportunity to just go do the show there permanently, I think. I think that would be a very wise career move for us, on a serious note. So the weekend, for it being early June, and there's a bunch going on. There's some things nationally. The Oregon State baseball story with Luke Heimlich has caught my attention where I was over the weekend. There were people talking about it, asking me about it. Mark Cuban decided to attack the NFL again on Friday, which I think is a very interesting story. Cuban has been famous for saying the NFL is going to get slaughtered like hogs. This was a couple of years back. He completely destroyed them for going into Las Vegas, saying it was a money grab, and then said that the NBA's embracing of social media far outweighs the NFL and will make the NBA much more profitable. So I'm paraphrasing. So I'm going to get into that. Show goes along. The Coyotes were sold again today. So I just say it as like a passing deal. Actually, they were bought. Andrew Barroway bought out the rest of the investment group that's probably saying, God, get us out of here. Please, dear Lord. How much money have we lost on this thing again? And for those of you that are hockey fans and think that I'm just too harsh, I don't know. You tell me how many owners have come and gone here that thought, I'll be the guy that can save the day. I'll be the guy that can get this all worked out. Then what happens? Another group leaves, and there'll be rumors of unrest, moving the team, looking to get out of Phoenix. Some will try to get something going over with ASU. ASU won't even show up to the press conference like what happened last time, which shows that they weren't interested in being part of this. It wouldn't surprise me to see Rising FC's ownership group reach out to the Coyotes, although I don't think that that is the end game. But you got to house things, and if you're going to build a soccer stadium, why not? I saw that we had a poll up on Sports 360 AZ on Twitter about the biggest sports story of the weekend, and that Drogba was winning the poll. Yeah, if you're like, who's Drogba? What are you talking about? The Suns worked out Jason Tatum, the Coyotes sale, the Diamondbacks won again. No, Didier Drogba made his debut, rated number 88 as the most famous athlete in the world, according to ESPN, 2 weeks ago. No other athlete in Arizona was even on the list. Nobody from your hometown hero baseball team, football team, basketball team. This is the only guy that's on the list. I watched the game on the stream when I got home, and the crowd was an overflow crowd. I fully expect that the ownership group is at some point going to step up and say, we're going to expand this little pop-up stadium that Eric and I have been out to. They're going to expand it from 7,500 to 10,000. I think that's the natural next step. They only, because they're smart on this, they only have two matches at home between now and Labor Day. That's it. Because you just cannot win by playing out here. And so, yeah, soccer is starting to grab hold in the marketplace. This is not Arena League football. No offense to the Rattlers, but the Rattlers are not going to have this kind of staying power. This team will be in the MLS within 2 years, barring something completely unforeseen. Like this ownership group, I saw most of them at this event on Friday night, and I've gotten to know some of this group. I've been an advocate of soccer since the day they started doing this with Kyle Ng's group. So for the last 4 years, I've sat here, and even before that, when I was doing the TV thing and the radio thing, there's a place here in Arizona for soccer. If you don't like it, don't watch. It's pretty simple. If you're going to take the time to shoot me a note saying, you need to talk more about the Cardinals, it's football season, who cares about soccer, you're on the wrong show. It's really simple. You can go find all sorts of shows that can appease you on that. Doesn't mean we don't do it. I don't know. I have Peter King every week during the season. It doesn't get any better than that. I got Michael Fabiano doing fantasy football every week from the NFL Network. Doesn't get any better than that. So, yeah, there's things that I see here in our state that we need. Soccer is one of those things. And so over the weekend, they won. They have this mega personality that's going to draw media worldwide into Phoenix. The New York Times is going to come out here. The LA Times did a huge spread on Drogba, and this was 4 weeks ago, and that's the only interview he's done. He's got a PR person that's just holding a hammer over his head saying, don't talk. So he has not stepped into the space yet where people have gotten to know him. If Didier Drogba were walking down the street in England, London, Europe, whatever, he'd be all mobbed. Here in Phoenix, I've seen him on Camelback outside of a building where people drove by, had no clue who he was. People walked by, had no idea who he was. It's actually pretty refreshing. So it's the soccer team will be the fifth major. And I think because of how the Coyotes have just been so poorly mismanaged and how many owners have come and gone, that if we talk about the power ratings of Arizona and where they are in sports, not just by wins and losses, but by the health of the leagues, the Suns are still the team that most natives, and Eric, you can speak to this, because I did not grow up here, but I've been here 24 years now, and it'll be 25 in December. And it's not even close. The Suns are the team of choice. They are the team that was born here. They're the team that has been known for its colors. The brand has been damaged by their present owner. The previous owner had built it into a mega, mega, mega event to be a part of the Suns. The Cardinals are part of the NFL. The NFL's had wild popularity in our space in the last 10 years. But the NFL is starting to do its slow decline. They'll disagree on that, but I don't think there's any denying the concussion thing and how they've treated their former players and this bubble of rights fees that they're getting. And just the general arrogance of the NFL has started to push that down in some people's view. The quality of football is not what it once was. Let's just be honest about that. They have not figured out how to handle players' safety. They have not figured out. They can say and do all the PR stuff they want, but you know that league can't get out of its own way with controversies and things that have generated a lot of media buzz but have nothing at all to do with the product on the field.
It's kind of crazy to think, Brad. We're a decade or close to a decade removed from 7 seconds or less.
Yeah.
Looking back on that, that was one of the peak times for sports interest in the Valley. I would rival that right up when the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl. I know some people will probably disagree with me on that.
Yeah.
But when the Suns, it's a Suns town.
Sure,
I mean, that's
is.
Just.
It is.
And if you're a native, you know it's a Suns town. If you've lived here 30 years, you know it's a Suns town. The Cardinals are a great product, great
yep.
brand, but there's just something about when the Suns are playing at an elite level and there's a huge mm-hmm. playoff series in the Western Conference and they're in the semifinals or the finals, there's just nothing that can top that.
Well, and I think that the Diamondbacks are close to that. When when they have an extended run, because that brand has been damaged badly, when they eliminated everything that had to do with the World Series team, when Jeff Morad completely ran it into the ground and Ken Kendrick gave him his trust and Ken and Jerry didn't care much for each other. And, you know, you have a team that won the World Series and 3 years later, they're tearing down anything that's purple and teal. And now what do you know? We'll have throwback Thursdays. We got to do something because we have all these people complaining.
Well, and the rehab has been slow, but they're on the, I mean,
they're on the
at
right
least
track.
On the field and what they're doing off the field currently, they're on the right track, I think.
Well, off
sort
field, I'll disagree with you a little bit just because of the stadium issue.
That's true.
But I think.
But in terms of being, I mean, they've got likable players. They embrace the community. They do a lot within the community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I always talk about, yeah, that's all great. That's all well and good, but let's win some games. And this year they are winning games.
Well, they have good guys too. And I think that's a good group of players. You know, the Cardinals are just in this space where I think there's a lot of people that recognize that Carson and Larry are on their last legs. And nobody wants to see a team that goes out like that. And Vegas has picked the Cardinals. I think it's 8 as they're over under. That's not going to get it done. There's other franchises that have a lot more, I would say, depth of roster. And so the Cardinals can play the us against them, and you don't know what you're talking about, Cessmad, and, you know, all that nonsense. You know, pass your time doing that stuff. But it's a prove-it league. Just go prove it. I'm very fair on all this stuff. I think that anybody who's like, oh, well, this is going to be the best Cardinals team ever. No. No, they would have to surprise a lot of people. When I get this, John Brown's going to be just fine this year. You don't know that. You don't know that. It's easy to say that stuff in February, March, April, May, and get people excited to get season ticket renewals. Go do it. Not that hard. So, you know, the soccer team on them, in their space, they play February through October. MLS will be February through October. And if you're in the MLS and you have the right group, and you have a magnet now in Didier Drogba, who is one of these iconic names worldwide, you know, the soccer team's going to make it. And if they build this stadium as what I'm hearing, and I think that they're going to actually do some things outside of even that slot at 101, 202 that are going to be big differences within the community, they're going to look at building a facility like what they have in Frisco, Texas. I'll just be straight up with you guys. They're going to build, and they're looking at doing it in partnership, and when it gets to that point to talk about it more, I'll talk about it more. And it will be a game changer for people, especially on the Southeast Valley side. It will just be a game changer, and some very good people that are involved in that. So when you put this together, where do teams like you doing the Rattlers, Eric does the Rattlers on the weekends. I'm not speaking out of school on that. He does the stats to help Kevin Ray out on the broadcast.
Yep, I work in the truck. Work behind the scenes. I've been working the Fox box.
Yeah.
So when you watch a game, the Fox box is that little thing up in the corner that changes the score and the down and all penalty and all that. I run that. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So are people going to their game still?
Yes.
Okay. In big numbers?
Tickets sold or butts and seats?
How does it look on television?
When shot properly, it looks fine.
I love that. Which means low angles.
Which means let's put the camera up in the sections that are empty and shoot the sections that are full. You see it a lot with Diamondbacks.
That's right.
Tight.
No, that's
we need the shot very tight on the overhead.
Tight. Low angle.
I think they get around 11, 12. The actual number is probably more like 8 or 9
or
10.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It has its place.
It does.
So, you know, this is all a buildup. I'm doing a deep dive. I'll take a break here in a minute. I'm doing a deep dive on naming rights here in town. Because we've already talked. I'm about advancing stories. So we've been talking since January of 2016 about the Diamondbacks' desire to be at the 101-202. And Robert looking at some sketches and drawings. There's actually a model over at Talking Stick off the 101 of a new Suns arena. So, I mean, we've been talking about this stuff and leading the way on this. We've been talking about Grand Canyon getting out of the WAC for, I don't know, a year, and that there's a lot of movement there. There's some movement over the weekend on that front. I wrote about it today. If you want to check that out, at Sports360AZ.
And real quick, Brad, the great thing about the 101 and the 202 is you come from that direction a lot.
Yep.
It's not far from the 60. It's not far from downtown. It's not just the 101 and the 202. There are a lot of other major thoroughfares that run pretty close to that area, because I don't get down that way very often. But when I was coming back up last week, I noticed the fact that, from the 60 to the 101, 202 is just a matter of miles.
So. No, so you've got to be forward thinking on this stuff. And so the rights fees, that is something that something I'm looking at doing, and how much is really out there that's available for these franchises, and what is in the best interest of our city. You know, when it was Bank One Ballpark, it was known as the Bob. And the Bob was not good for Bank One Ballpark, because nobody said Bank One Ballpark. They said, we're going to the Bob tonight. And you can't have that when the Cardinals are trying to find a new naming rights guy, sponsor for University of Phoenix Stadium. They're bailing out. And are there dollars out there, or is everything going to be casinos? We already have casinos at Talking Stick, and we already have a casino at over where the Coyotes play, too. So. At Gila River. So is everything just going to be a casino? So I'm working on a deep dive on that, because I think it's really interesting, the business side of sports. So an Oregon State pitcher gets through the season, is having a terrific run, is supposed to get drafted today. And then it comes out last week that he sexually molested a 6-year-old female family member when he was a teenager. I'm going to talk about that story on the other side, because I think it's going to change sports in the way of recruitment quite a bit, obviously. And you would think that schools would know, but they don't. And then Mark Cuban takes another shot at the NFL. Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. So today is the Major League Baseball draft. And typically the Major League Baseball draft, unless there's a local player that is scheduled to go in the top few, I'm not one that pays attention to it top to bottom. This year, there is an exception. Jacob Gonzalez, Luis Gonzalez's son, is going to be drafted, from my understanding, tomorrow or Wednesday. Second or third round is where he's pegged to go right now. He is committed to go to Texas Christian University, Eric's proud alma mater, and Eric is hoping beyond hope that he says no to Major League Baseball and he goes to college, although there's going to be a lot of dough that is sitting there for him to do that. The story, though, today has changed for me, because I am going to be watching the draft tonight. Luke Heimlich is a pitcher for Oregon State. He is rated the 43rd best prospect by Baseball America. Top left-handed pitcher for Oregon State, one of the top left-handed pitchers in the country.
And Oregon State is the best team in the country, the number one team going to Omaha, just in case you haven't. Our listeners or watchers have not been following the College World Series. They've lost only 4 games all year, I think.
So Luke Heimlich, 5 years ago, sexually assaulted a 6-year-old family member. He was convicted, admitted to his crime. He is a registered sex offender. He did not keep up with his registration of being a sex offender. This happened in Puyallup, Washington. He is now in Oregon. The Oregonian was doing a story on Luke Heimlich. Just a general, this guy's really good, this guy is going to be drafted in all likelihood in the first round, this guy is going to be something else. However, the Oregonian, just in their course of doing their work last month, came on the fact that he is a registered sex offender, did not re-up his registration being a sex offender. They tried to contact him to get comment. They eventually had to publish the story, and they explained their position as, we are just doing our job. Will Luke Heimlich be drafted today? Luke Heimlich took a leave of absence from the Oregon State team on Friday as they're going into the College World Series. Their coach, Pat Casey, as Eric said, Oregon State has had a very, very good year. You watch college baseball quite closely. Are they the best team?
By far. Yeah, they are by far the best team. They were the number one seed going into the regionals and super regionals, and they rolled through, and they're on their way to the College World Series.
Okay, and have you seen Luke Heimlich pitch?
I have not. I have not seen a lot of their games, but I have seen highlights of him. He has been dominant this year.
So universities, you would think, would do background checks, or maybe you wouldn't think that they would do criminal background checks.
Depends on the school, from what I've been told.
Yeah. Is this now going to change everything?
It should.
Everything.
It should.
So a high school kid, let's just go to high school kids. High school kid is contacted at 15 years of age by said university. We think you are the greatest fill-in-the-blank ever, he or she, and we're going to do a background check on you. I'm surprised, but then maybe I shouldn't be surprised that this hasn't happened, that Oregon State would be caught so off guard on this, and they were. I'm going to read from this. The situation is the result of how much universities, organizations, and even fans are willing to forgive just so they can win. Luke Heimlich slipped through the cracks because the NCAA has no policy preventing convicted felons from playing intercollegiate sports. So not even for sex crimes. The Oregonian has been doing some very good work on this. There were two athletes at the University of Oregon, Danny Moran and Brad Schmidt, wrote about this. The University of Oregon used to have an unwritten policy prohibiting convicted felons from playing sports. The issue came to light in 2003 when the athletic director blocked a football player from joining the Ducks. Judge subsequently reduced the player's felony conviction to a misdemeanor, allowing him to play. The policy preventing felons from playing has since been removed, but the major leagues cannot act the same way. Heimlich cannot become a professional baseball player. The sport must set the bar to entry somewhere, and someone who molested a child cannot meet the entry criteria. I'm reading from an article today about this. That is one person's opinion on it. And so as I'm seeing this, you have a college pitcher who has an earned run average that's less than one. You have a pitcher that clearly on the field should be in a space where he is helping out a team. He's wanting to make a living. He's pulled himself out. Will a team draft him today? The Arizona Diamondbacks drafted Luke Heimlich today. What type of reaction would we have here in Arizona towards this? I don't know the background of the story other than all it says is he sexually molested a six-year-old female family member when he was a teenager. I mean, that alone should disqualify anybody, correct? But that's just what's been written. I have not seen a police report. I'm not saying there's going to be anything different about it. I myself would not want to bring somebody like, I would myself not draft somebody like that. But I think when you immediately just rush to headline rather than context, and that's why I'm sure there's major league teams, sure that there's major league teams that have said, let's go do a much, much deeper dive on this.
And I can relate it a little bit, Brad, to what happened at Hamilton, what you and I talked about with the Hazen situation. This is the type of instance that puts all the other coaches and schools and administrators on alert. If this can happen at Oregon State,
sure,
this can happen at any school, just like at Hamilton. If there can be hazing at one of the most prestigious high school football programs in the state of Arizona, it can happen anywhere.
And so I completely agree with you on that. But will every Major League Baseball team dive out on this one?
I don't think so.
So someone today or someone the next
I don't know about today. I wouldn't say today, but
43rd, he's a left-handed pitcher, which, yeah. I mean,
yep.
0.79 earned run average. I know you guys are screaming like there's no way I would take a convicted child molester on the team. But you have to look at the business side of sports, and I'm not condoning it. I'm saying that there are people out there that will just take anybody in order to win.
I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals drafted Joe Mixon in the third round in the NFL draft after his incident of the past. So it he will get drafted. It's just a question of when, like you said.
And what owner is in? And will the owner even be aware?
A whole other can of worms, because with selecting him, you're bringing that dark cloud with him to your organization.
And every bus that he's going to ride on and every city that he shows up at, you know that there's going to be people that are all over him.
I mean, in a different instance, but Colin Kaepernick still out there. I mean, why is he still out there? A lot of people say, well, we just don't want what goes along with Colin Kaepernick.
And there is that side that has defended him.
Sure.
There is that side that has said that, you know, you have to take all this in, and the tolerance should be something that people look at and say that he's paid his penance. he has had to live with this, and so on and so forth. I don't know that. I don't know that. And I don't know who's in his circles. I don't know what type of rehab he's gone through, any of that. But this story clearly today is the story of the baseball draft today. We'll see how it turns out. Paula Bovin is next. I actually talked to Paula about this. Mark Cuban's comments, a little bit more. On the other side, I'm Brad Sussmat. And now the professor joins us from Arizona State University, Paula Bovin, former columnist at the Arizona Republic, now professor at ASU at the Cronkite School. I noticed you were doing very important things like finding the best water park to take prospective high school broadcast students. I'm guessing this is summer camp, yes?
Yes, yes. I'm running a broadcast summer camp. People coming in from all over the country, and one day we're going to go to a water park, and I just haven't been in a while, so I was seeking out help.
And Eric, you can jump in on this one. What are we thinking? Wet and Wild? That's probably like Golfland Sunsplash is way 80s.
I don't think. Do people still go to Big Surf? Is that a thing?
Big Surf by ASU. Yeah. Paul, have you gotten Big Surf on this one? Or
I have not. I have been to Wet and Wild, which I was impressed by. I have not been to Big Surf, though. So I guess whatever is best of those two might be my choice.
We always went to Wet and Wild out in Mesa, right off the 60. That was our go-to as a kid.
Yeah, so. But that's 30 years old.
No, I don't know. I don't go to water parks anymore. So
you guys,
I have a pool.
Come on. I mean, this is big stuff for Paula here. We got to help her out. What's the one off of I-17 up in the north part? Like going up to Carefree.
That's Wet and Wild.
Yeah, go to Wet and Wild. Go to that one.
All right.
You'll do fine. How many students are you bringing in?
31.
Wow. And you're sold out, huh?
Yes. I had to turn down quite a few applicants, unfortunately.
Good for you.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Have you been paying attention to the Luke Heimlich story at Oregon State?
Very much so.
Okay. Yeah. And where do you come down? Let's walk through the process, because I went through this in the last space. And I would think from a teaching perspective that there's a lot that you could dive into on this, or maybe not. I think you've got to give the Oregonian a lot of credit for just going the simple step of doing a background check. Journalistically speaking, do you have any qualms about this story coming out about the Oregon State pitcher? Because it makes today's draft even that much more interesting to me to see what happens with him.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem. And what people are kind of missing with this story, because I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, it happened when he was a juvenile, so we'd be reporting these things. Well, he sort of brought this on himself when he relocated to Oregon and he was supposed to check in about where he lived and those kinds of things. He did not, and that's what put it into the public records in the state of Oregon. Had he been sort of following his rules or whatever, and I know it's probably confusing or whatever, but then that story would have never come up. So, yes, he kind of put it on himself by not registering, so to speak, with Oregon. So this comes up and in the records, and you're right, it's simply by the Oregonian doing this job, their job, and you know, all this talk of fake news and how irresponsible the media is. Well, he was simply doing a profile. He wasn't digging for anything.
Right.
And he still did a background check, which is great, which is a practice I think a lot of newspapers need to follow. And so that information came up, and I know people are like, what the heck with the timing, you know, college, you know, the postseason draft coming up. Well, that just happened to be when this information came to the Oregonian and they could verify it. So, no, I mean, you know, there are all kinds of different crimes, Brad, and I think when you're, even if you're young and there is the kind of crime that he is accused and he indeed admitted guilty to, there is no reason that you don't let people know about it.
Okay, and so with that said, I've got a couple back thoughts on this, and that is, did you ever do a background check on a person that you were profiling?
Yes, quite a few, but to be honest, and I think this tends to be the case with a lot of newspapers, they were stories of more sensitivity. Someone getting hired for a head coaching job in football. I mean, you know, we've seen how many times until this became public, people were lying on their resumes, right?
Right.
So we did it in that regard. An issue that is either sort of potential to be controversial or a very big name hire, I absolutely have done. Sometimes when I was covering ASU football on the beat, I would randomly go into the, because you can do so much online now, the Maricopa County court systems, plug in a name and see what pops up. Back in the day, newspapers had reporters sort of based at, with, you know, and have relationships with police and with the courts. It is not as much anymore, so they would often help as well. But everyday features, no. No, but I think it would be a great practice for newspapers to do that.
Well, and I'm trying to think just here in the last 20, 30 years, Wally Backman's situation would come to mind for me.
Right.
And I'm sure there's others that I'm just forgetting about, but Wally Backman on a legal side when the Diamondbacks had him as manager. You know, baseball's in a space. Well, let me go over college first, and then I'll get to the MLB. The college end of things, does this case, what is happening, become a game changer now for all of college athletics so they're not caught with being in that spot like Oregon State has been here in the last 5 days?
Absolutely. I know for a fact, I've talked to people in college administration that are stepping up their game. Now, a lot of them are saying they're doing that anyway. And certainly in the case of sex offenders, that's information that is supposed to come out when they're registering and they get reports and everything like that. But there is going to now be more due diligence because, you know, it looks embarrassing to Oregon State. I mean, they haven't fully revealed what they knew or didn't know, but they're in an embarrassing situation right now. And here is a coach who is sort of defending this player who obviously he's known longer than most of us have clearly and has a relationship with him. But it's causing some friction even within the administration there. So no question in my mind you're going to see people step up within the college administration area.
Well, I think you even have to look at high school. You know, I can localize this with the Hamilton hazing scandal and one of the people involved in that, that is something that's going to happen even at a high school level. And, you know, Todd Graham's going to go into someone's house or someone with Todd Graham's staff is going to say, yeah, we need to do a background check on this kid or that kid. And they may already be doing this top to bottom. I don't know that. You may.
Right.
But I think that's on a Friday night, you're going to go watch the kid. And then immediately it's let's go see what he is behind the scenes. It was that way on a social media platform. Now it's got to go much deeper than that, I think, off of this Heimlich case. It's an awakening for a lot of people.
It is. It is. And it's a good thing. I mean, I know people make mistakes when they're young, and maybe if somebody has a conviction for, you know, a robbery or they broke into a car, does it make you eliminate this guy as a recruit? I wouldn't say necessarily so. I mean, people do dumb things and they can grow from it. But bottom line, when it's something of this magnitude, and this was bad, I mean, it didn't happen once. It happened several times. There was admission of guilt. At some point, you have to make those tough decisions.
Okay, that leads me to this. The draft is today. He is projected as the 43rd best prospect by Baseball America, but he's a left-handed starting pitcher with an ERA of 0.79. Do you draft him? Does he go completely undrafted because of this?
Gosh, this is such a hard one for me. Brad,
me too.
I mean, me too. It is, that's one of those areas that it is hard to get past. I wouldn't draft him because that's sort of the sacred ground that I wouldn't delve into if I'm taking a player. However, there have been a lot of studies, and I've been reading about this, that in a lot of cases, maybe there are situations where, in most cases, when there's a sexual offender who's older, they often repeat it. But there have been studies, and there was, I think, a professor quoted from Berkeley that if this is happening at 15, there is no show of evidence that it's going to happen more often. So do you take that kind of information into account? Do you believe in rehabilitation? Do you believe in second chances?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really struggling with this one, but I think if I were a team, I would not draft him.
Yeah, I mean,
and, you know, maybe he has to go prove himself somewhere else for a long time. I don't know.
Okay, so, but Major League Baseball has shown through the years, Aroldis Chapman can fire a gun 7 times into the air after putting his hands on the neck of his girlfriend. Jose Reyes can push his girlfriend through a glass screen door, and they can be suspended for 50 games and be brought back. It's not like baseball or any sport for that matter is loaded with choir boys or choir girls. And I feel as though because baseball has this side to it of there's only so many guys that can produce on the field, somebody's going to take him. I just don't know who that would be. And I don't know where that will end up. And to your point, you know, the psychological side, I don't know if he had registered, if he had just simply filled out that this is where I am, is this a bigger story, as big a story as it's become? I mean, it's still a story in my view. The fact that he didn't, you know, is he trying to hide it? Which I couldn't imagine being in that space, having that follow me around for the rest of my life, but that's what he's got to pay for, so...
My gut feeling is he's not going to get drafted as good as he is because I think sexual molestation is a whole new... I mean, I know people who will excuse a lot of things. That's one of those areas I don't know. Although I did hear he got a warm round of applause at some of the games, you know, after that story came out among Oregon State fans. So there is certainly forgiveness and maybe greater than I know, but... when it comes to a team actually taking him, I don't know. I don't see it, but I might be wrong.
So Mark Cuban said over the week, or this last Friday, that the NBA can overtake the NFL. And he's saying this because the NBA is catering to younger fans with an emphasis on social media. It promotes its players. I'm reading from the Washington Post, who did a deep dive on this. The most famous of whom are the popular athletes in the country on Twitter. 25.3 million people follow the NBA's official account compared to 23.5 million in the NFL. So they have about 2 million more. NBA measures, which it declined to share, the league's social media accounts also have the youngest average age for any U.S. sports league. So Adam Silver sits there and says stuff like, we're in great position, we're in great shape. What he's not saying is, publicly, is the worldwide draw of the NBA versus the NFL just being very United States. There's a reason why the NFL is trying to be in Mexico and they've gone over to London. I guess a long question for you is, do you believe in Cuban's theory that the NBA can pass the NFL in terms of popularity in our country?
Yeah, I mean, one, I've always respected his opinion a lot, so I put a lot of credence in it. I think when you're talking commissioners, you have one that is much more in tune toward moving forward than the one in the NFL. I mean, I think the concussion thing is a real lingering issue with the NFL as far as what is going to happen to our youth playing the sport down the road. Is that going to sour people on the game? Are players going to leave the game earlier? I think there's a lot of warning signs with the NFL, and I think there's so much greater respect right now for the commissioner of the NBA. So it's hard for me to imagine because I think the NFL is just a built-in product that can succeed. You know, just 16 games, a build-up for a week to this one game, and all the way up to the Super Bowl. That's a pretty cool formula that they have, but. You know, a lot of it comes down to leadership, and right now I would say the leadership of the NBA is much stronger than NFL's, and in that end, I would not discount at all what Cuban is saying. I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk, no pun intended by any
stretch.
Nicely done.
But
worth paying attention to, no doubt about it.
Did you go to, I know you had a Cronkite reporter out at, I noticed you had a Cronkite reporter out at Rising the other night for Drogba's debut. Did you go? Have you been?
Yeah, I was there. I was on the sidelines the whole time. And it was fascinating to me because, frankly, I've not paid that much attention to soccer. But his ability and his sort of the way he separates himself from everybody else on the field, I was blown away by his talent. And really impressed by the crowd there. I mean, you know, that pop-up stadium has attracted quite a unique and local crowd. It was really kind of fun.
They're going to make it, Paula. I mean, soccer is going to come here, and they're going to make it. They're going to expand that to 10,000, I think, in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, I've sat here and talked soccer for 4 years and have people just, or 20 years that I've been here, that just kind of get glazed over with it. And unless this group gets sideways with each other, this ownership group, if they get sideways with each other, it'll just be like everything else. It'll fall apart. I don't see that happening. I think this group is actually very well formulated and very well tied together, having gotten to know them quite well. And they're going to be the fifth sport here. And with the Coyotes changing owners again this morning, who knows? Or the ownership structure this morning, who knows? So, anything else going on?
They've made a lot of good decisions. The soccer group has. I'm really impressed. And, you know, getting this guy on board was one more of them.
Anything else in your world this week?
No, I'm I'm so much going on for summer, and a lot of it, you know, with the Diamondbacks, they're keeping it really interesting. All these runs they're scoring, and I'm just having fun watching them right now.
All right, let's go off that. Talk next week. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
See ya. There's Paula Bova, News and Notes. The professor at Arizona State. She made a good move there from the Republic, and now is on to her next chapter. We're going to get to the Diamondbacks on the other side because I have completely ignored them, and they had a good weekend. We'll do that. I'm Brad Sussmat. So the Hometown Nine today are flying to Detroit, the Diamondbacks, after taking 2 or 3 from Milwaukee over the weekend. They're 2 back of Colorado today. And, man, Robbie Ray, he struck out 12 yesterday, and they were fun to watch again over the weekend. I didn't see much Saturday. I watched quite a bit yesterday. I had this dilemma yesterday afternoon. It was 105. That's not the dilemma. I'd been doing club basketball all weekend, and there was a Bond marathon on over on, was it ION Network?
Right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, my gosh.
You love Bond. You love Bond.
I just...
And you also love club basketball in Avondale.
Club basketball in Avondale will just wipe you out. So, no, I'm working on a couple projects. One of them I can't talk about yet, but I'm working on just some cool things. And so I have to take some time during the weekend to study for one of them. And so I was doing a lot of that where I'm, 2 hours here, an hour there, I'm studying on something. And so I'm flipping over to the Diamondbacks when they hit 3 home runs in one inning. Herman hits his out. And then Peralta hit his out, and then Goldschmidt hits one out in the next inning, the grand slam, and they just crushed Milwaukee 11-1. So I'm very pleased where they are. There's a few things here.
I mean, are you seeing where this ball is landing?
Yeah.
468-foot grand slam. Ooh. And the ball is just, it's one of those home runs where the ball, it's like a moonshot. It's like being shot out of a cannon. Boom. Yep, that's gone. I'm just going to humbly run around the bases and high five and go back to the dugout.
Is he the MVP
I'm Paul
of the
Goldschmidt.
Team?
I think so, without question.
Greinke's not?
No.
Every fifth day, right? Jake Lamb, anything?
He
a couple people voted
for
him on the poll.
Yeah, you could make that argument.
Where would because, they be if because, Lamb weren't if Lamb weren't here?
Well, that's the thing. Jake Lamb's ascension to, I won't say stardom, but to the forefront of Major League Baseball.
Lead the league in RBI.
Is helping Paul Goldschmidt.
Yes.
Because Paul Goldschmidt needs, if Paul Goldschmidt's Batman, he has always needed Robin.
Yep.
And now he might have Robin and Robin 2.0. And Pollock, whenever he gets healthy,
I just can't believe how Colorado's crushing the Cubs. And Colorado is just rolling. In Chicago, they beat the heck out of them. Like, I'm sitting here all weekend looking at my phone saying, okay, the Diamondbacks are going to gain some, and they don't. And they finally did yesterday, so they're 2 back.
But it's fine. I mean, it's fine.
Like, 2 back in June.
Who's complaining?
June 12th,
we're in mid-June, and they're 2 back.
So this road trip, so they go to Detroit for 2, and then they go to Philly for 4, and then they go to Colorado next week.
Another long road trip.
They actually have a day off today.
Yep.
And they have a day off next Monday.
They do.
And which is good for our TV show next week, by the way. Just not that I've looked ahead at that.
It's always
nice when there's big baseball games before and after to be on doing our football show. But that series at Colorado, who would have thought a mid-June series against the Rockies could be for first place? And then Colorado comes here a couple weeks later, right around the 1st of July, like a week later.
And the great side story in Colorado is the resurgence of Mark Reynolds, who's on pace
to be the next
Babe Ruth somehow. I mean, he's this guy. All he does is hit home runs.
He's killing it up
there. He is.
So tonight, I got to watch. We didn't do anything on is LeBron the greatest? Are Steph and KD the grade? We didn't do any of that nonsense.
Because we're going to see nets being cut. We're going to see champagne being bathed in. We're going to see trophies being hoisted tonight in Oakland. Because
you think?
there's Yeah, there's no way the Cavs are going to play as well as they did. That was the most entertaining 16-point loss I've ever seen on Friday night.
So
the Cavs just played. They can. They will never be able to play as well as they did on Friday.
I was at the Kona Grill opening, and they had the TVs on, and so we were watching, and everybody's oohing and aahing. I listened to it as we were going back home, the end of it. I heard that the Warriors owners make $11 million tonight by simply hosting the game. Make $11 million. So there's always the conspiracy theory in me that, well, if you can make $11 million on a Monday night, and it's June, and you can always get over to Wednesday night. The officiating was such garbage and such trash on Friday night. Like, I don't know how Lee can just get that far off. Like, last night I'm watching Nashville and Pittsburgh, and I thought Nashville got screwed. I don't watch hockey every day, but I thought Nashville got completely hosed on what should have been a goal for them in this series. Then we'd be having a game seven.
Yeah, it was an entertaining series.
No, it was.
It was a good series.
It was. So, so tonight there's no baseball, but there's NBA. And I'll probably watch because we got to talk about it tomorrow. But it's I'm not sitting there on the edge of my seat. Let's just say it appears that Golden State should just get through this. I'm more interested to see if Fultz is going to come work out for the Suns. My guy Lonzo Ball's not. The Suns were in LA over the weekend to work out Jason Tatum. Part of the thing on all these workouts is we don't know who the Suns truly are wanting us to know they're working out. Like, if you remember the Amari Stoudemire story, they snuck Amari in, okay?
A couple times, I think. Memory serves me correct.
Right. And that was a long time ago. So when there's this, ooh, this guy is working, come on. They can go find we're going to go meet you halfway. We're going to go to Blythe, and there's going to be a gym. And we'll fly in, and
don't
you can
limo
over.
I mean, that could happen, honestly.
Sure it could.
Call the agent and say, this is where we need to be.
Be in Palm Desert at the high school at 7 a.m. and no one's going to know. And so when people get all excited about, oh, they met with this guy. Well, just remember Amari Stoudemire. It's all contextual. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board today. He had his wedding anniversary, and it sounded like his was far more interesting and exciting than mine. He was not in Chicken a Basket, I think is where we ended up, some chicken place. At 8:30 in a drive-through with my wife and my son on our 28th wedding anniversary.
So romantic.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome.
In Avondale.
No. We actually...
Oh, made the trek back.
We made the trek back to South Texas.
Gotcha.
And got through. Eric is our astute, stupendous, overworked, underappreciated at times...
Stop.
Chairman of the board.
Happy to be here, as always.
Senior executive vice president of everything. So, I'm Brad Sussman. Have a good day.